for the fans, by the fans. This is the Non-League Football Show with me, Tim Fuel, here alone this week with a tranche of non-league news, views and discussion. A busy week in the world of non-league with the FA Cup, FA Trophy and much more besides. But a wealth of experience and expertise amongst my guests this week with much to chat about. So let's get things underway. So my next guest is also a prolific striker, although one who's pretty much hung up his own scoring boots to concentrate on getting the best out of others. His new role is alongside Jamie O'Hara in the dugout at the new look Billericay Town. To tell us more, welcome back to the Non-League Football Show, Gifton Noel Williams.
Hello Tim, how are you doing?
I'm good. It's a bit of a tired voice. I sense it's been a long day. It's been a long week.
It has been a long week.
We'll get onto that in a minute. Now, I'm sure people will remember your scoring exploits as a player, notably, I remember Watford, Stoke, Burnley. But you've also been all around the world and even in non-league as well.
Yeah, you know, thank God I was in Spain as well, America. And now I'm back here in good old Britain, trying to see what I can do on another side of the pitch.
Good old Britain, good old rainy Britain. Probably not. You probably played in far greater places, warmer places. Now, from your point of view, as I say, you've been all around the world. You've seen people. You've seen great strikers. You know great strikers. You work with great strikers still on a daily basis. Is there a tick box list that of must to be a good modern day striker?
Yeah, I think there is. You know, I think there's a few things that you have to have. Well, if you're going to be a goal scorer, you have to have a certain desire to score goals. You know, it sounds really funny. What do you mean a desire to score goals is? It's a midfielder has a desire to run and work hard, and a defender has a desire to stop goals going in. But as a striker, you need to have a real desire to score goals. I want to score. No matter what happens in the game, I want to score. Then beyond that, there's the all-round player. You know, so your hold up play, your back playing up back to goal, runs in behind. You know, there's so many things that it takes to become a top level striker. You know, if you look at all the strikers, they have probably 9 or 10 out of what they need. You know, and they're very good at all the basic stuff. You know, runs off the ball, finishing in the box, and also bringing their team into play as well.
Yeah, and when I was growing up, and you're a few years behind me, but you know, everybody wanted to be a striker, and it doesn't necessarily seem to be the position that's the prize position anymore, because people seem to want to be able to show off their ball playing prowess, which maybe as a striker you don't get that same opportunity nowadays, because you're expected to shoot on sight sometimes.
Yeah, the game's changed. You know, the game's changed to from a point where. The way English football was before, it was so much get the ball forward into the striker, get it wide, get it in the box to the striker. When now you've got fullbacks that are just technically good as well. You've got guys who are technically good and they want to play fullback, because fullback is a position where they can dribble a lot, do a little passing, cross balls in the box. So, and also as well, there's so many other positions that are glorified now. You know, back in the days, most of the famous players were strikers. So everybody wanted to be a striker. But now, you know, you've got so many famous players in different positions. So you've got kids who are growing up wanting to be a left back because of in my generation, Roberto Carlos and people like that. So I think the game's just changed now to more of a technical game. So being a striker is much more than just staying in the box and just being a goal scorer, a goal hanger. It's so much more to it now.
Yeah, and I think the last time we had you on the show was you first ventured into non-league management at Burnham a few years back now, but you're back in the dugout, and I joke that you're tired, but you seem to be enjoying it at the moment.
Oh, I love it. You know, I love it. You know, as you can see, my voice has gone, and that's probably from Tuesday night. Yeah, you know, I love it. I love being around football. Football is my life. It's what I know. It's what I do. And, you know, being, I've got that Saturday feeling, that 3 p.m. Saturday feeling back. And, you know, no matter what I've done since I've retired, nothing can fulfill that feeling. But I genuinely feel I've got it back now. You know, that 3 p.m. is a match, something that you put your life on, something to die for. And it's it's a beautiful thing that the boys have really, really taken in what we're trying to do here, and it's been a good start.
Yeah, and like most other media outlets, we've covered Billericay Town in many shows in recent years, but it does appear that the Hamplin era is now over, and the club's still progressing and in a changed format, and it does seem that the buzz is back around the club.
Yeah, no, obviously I know from the outside what it was like under the old regime, but since I've been here, it's been more or less the new people have been here talking to me and for the most part, so. Now that the takeover has happened and we have new owners, it's going to be really interesting to see where we go. Me and Jamie's been there for many years, but I'm new to it. So for me, it's about a new look with Billericay, about starting something that Glenn and Tampin have started already and done a great job, and just really picking up for where he left it, where he's put it down, and really taking it somewhere. So we've got a good squad at the moment. There's a lot of talk about whether the squad will stay together or will break up. And I'm sure if we can keep the squad almost together, then, you know, we can try and have a good little run at maybe making in the playoffs or something like that this season.
That's what I was going to ask, if there any targets set by the club? Because, we've spoken about Glenn Tamplin's legacy. There is a legacy there. Where the club was to where it is now, it's a fantastic difference, and you have got great foundations to build upon. And it sounds like you've now got a new great team around you as well, both on and off the field.
Yeah, you know, as you said, what Glenn done there is amazing. And I come in the club, and the club looks like it's a club that can make another step. You know, it's ready to make another step. It's just putting infrastructure behind it and getting the youth team together, getting the reserve team together, 23s. There's a lot of little things behind the scenes that they're trying to do. And I think if we can do all those things and really get the football right, then this club is a club that really could push on. You know, we've lost a big part of the squad from the time I've been here to now. We've lost a lot of big hitters. But we believe that the players that we've got are good enough. And, you know, if it's not this season, maybe next season, but we'll be ready to give it a good push.
Yeah, and we should, of course, speak about the FA Cup. Alan Julian is going to go down as one of those quiz questions for years to come. The goalkeeper scoring at the weekend against Sutton to tie the game late on. Now, was that a bench decision to push him up for that?
I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to try and take credit for it at all. When I realised that he was going up when he reached the halfway line. So when he was on his way up, I realised he was going up, and he was like, go on, Andrew. Go ahead, you know. You've got enough experience, and it's one of those things. One of the boys actually said on the bench, he said, I bet he's going to score. And he went out there and banged his header. So, you know, that's the magic of the FA Cup. That's the reason why we all love the FA Cup. You know, and so we've got another opportunity now to go and do another little giant thing. So let's see what we do when we go and play Forest Green.
Yeah, a great midweek win in the replay, and you're saying Forest Green Rovers for the next round, and it's there's so many great ties in the next round in the FA Cup, but for you, a trip to a league club, potential, as you say, for an upset there, that's not a bad time to get involved in a new club.
Oh, no, it's great. You know, obviously, I've been there behind the scenes, without people knowing, really, behind the scenes for, I think, 7 games now, 8 games. So since Jamie came in, I've been there busy and helping him out behind the scenes. So, you know, we've been working behind the scenes, working on things. And it's nice when you see the boys play the way they played on Tuesday. I thought they were fantastic. And I believe if they can bring that same team spirit and that same energy before the screen, you never know. You know, I've played before against a team that's 2-3 divisions lower than us, and they've really given us a good run, maybe brought us to a replay or something like that. So, you know, we've got some bit of experience in the changing rooms. Boys have been there already. So, you never know what can happen with this game of football. And if we play to our best and we get them on a bad day, you never know what can happen.
Yeah, I was going to mention that, the experience that you've got in that change room. It must be great that you've got, you know, yourself and Jamie, more experience than pretty much any other management sort of set up, even at this level. And then you got your players there. So that big match experience is going to go a long way in that next tie.
Yeah, you know, obviously, as you said, me and Jamie have been to these kind of stages before, played in these kind of levels before, as in So it's not going to overphase us as in get panicky and get worried and start doing things that we weren't doing before, you know. We're calm, you know, we see the challenge ahead of us, you know, both in that game, in the cup and also in the league. And it's about just putting the plan in action. You know, Jamie's got his philosophy, of Gaffer's got his philosophy of what he wants to do. You know, we work on it on a daily, on a basis when we train. Me and the Gaffer are in talks all the time about what we want, what players we want to bring in. So you know, we're just gonna keep doing it step by step and just see where it grows, really. You know, me and Jamie are learning each other. We're a brand new partnership, so it's about us learning each other, learning the players, making a few mistakes along the way, and hopefully doing something this season in the league.
Yeah, and of course, away from the dugout, you're very busy there. Hence why I was joking that you're very tired. Yeah, you just keep going and going and going. You've got various business interests, but also involvement with the PFA and coaching courses. But you're also on the Isthmian League board, which is where we really sort of got to know each other last year. And as the BAME expert on the board there, I guess that's the best way of saying it. And this week we had the issue of racism at a non-league ground in the FA Cup that made national headlines. We won't discuss the specifics as the authorities are obviously still dealing with that, but the issue of racism seems to be a problem football hasn't completely dealt with, yet it doesn't seem to be a problem in other sports.
Yeah, you know, I think we say this, I believe myself, it's not a football problem, it's a society problem. You know, and I think it's a society education problem. I think that I watched a video not too long ago, and it's a video of people from different races, and they're talking about, well, I don't like Germans, or I don't like British, or I don't like the French, or I don't like the Muslims, and I don't like this. And then what they done, they had to spit into a glass and do a DNA test. And when the DNA test came back, they realized that there was a percentage of some of the things they didn't like, and some of the other races and cultures they didn't like. And, you know, that for me was really powerful, because it showed that we are all each other's cousins without us even knowing it. And I think if you can educate people, I think with education, then there's less excuse of ignorance. And also you'll find that some people are racist, but they don't really do it on purpose. I know it sounds really silly, but they're just doing it because it's just what they're used to doing.
Yeah,
and they don't understand the detriment, and they don't understand the hurt that it causes people. They don't fully get it.
It is that ignorance element, isn't it? And from a fan's perspective, or maybe a club representative, if you do hear racism or discrimination of any sort, it's really incumbent upon all of us to take action.
100%. You know, I think that's the only way we're going to stamp it out, is by people standing up and letting people know it's not right. You know, so if you hear it in the stands, other fans have to film it or stand up and tell those people it's not right. They've got to tell the steward. You know, it's not just something you can say, oh, the authorities need to always do this. I think within ourselves we can do things as well. And I think if fans are reporting it, stewards are reporting it, fans are getting lifelong bans or years bans for what they're doing, I think then, but I think the ban itself is not good enough. I think you need the ban, but with education. So maybe they can come back in the game if they've shown some form of remorse and some form of education, as some form of a course or something along the lines they've gone through to show that they've got to a new understanding. You know, I just think education for me is the key, because I think that a lot of people just don't realise how hurtful they're being by their actions.
Yeah, it's perverse in a way, but these greater awareness by the headlines and stories in the news is actually helping in that education process.
100%. No, 100%. I think that the right stakeholders, the right people are being pressured into standing up and doing something about this problem. You know, whether it is creating courses where fans that get caught doing racial abuse or homophobic abuse or whatever it is, they can be educated. But it should be a program that every club is running, or the FA are running, or somebody's running. And I think just things like that will one, hinder, and two, help those that need the help behind it.
Well, Gifton, I guess another big game ahead of you at the weekend. Is it now You're off to training and getting the guys organised?
Yeah, you know, we just finished training, so we're training tonight. The boys are back on it. Those who need to recover. Those that need to train. And it's just full focus to Saturday, really, away at Maidstone. So it's just about us going to try and climb the table, because we've been on this FA Cup run. We've actually missed a few games. So it's just catching up with those games and keeping up to date with the table. Because at first we were fifth, and now I think we slipped down to 7th or 8th. So we need to just get a few games and get a few wins in and hopefully climb the table from around for the boys.
Yeah, and I'm waiting for that 3 p.m. kickoff again. Gifton Noel Williams, thanks for joining us on the Non-League Football Show. Best of luck for the rest of the season. Speak to you soon.
Thank you very much, Tim. Take care, mate. Bye-bye.
So from individual goal scorers to team goal scorers, my next guest is the manager of the top league goal scorers in the top 10 levels of the English pyramid, with 70 goals so far this season in just 14 games. We spoke to him this time last season when his step six side were setting the FA Vase alight, knocking out higher level opposition. Dave Anderson obviously learnt a bit from him that night, going on to win the competition himself with Chertsey Town. But Matt Cusack is back for some more glory to tell us why his Saltash United side are on fire in front of goal. Welcome back to the Non-League Football Show, Matt.
Good evening, Tim.
It's great to have you back on, Matt, because it was insightful last year, because you really were doing well in the Vase, and I think Mr. Anderson probably took a few top tips from you. But This season, you got 70 goals in just 14 matches. Now, a little secret, back in my younger days, I used to favour the treble 14 when I was playing darts. So I do know my 14 times table. And so I know that's an average of 5 per game. I mean, what's the secret?
Well, it's actually 76 now after 15, because we won 6-0 last night against a title rival, actually. So we've had really good home form this year, and we have been absolutely lethal in front of goal. I'm not too sure what the secret is. We just seem to be playing really well, and when you're full of confidence, I guess you can blow teams away, and that's what's happening with us.
Yeah, so is that 2 6-0 wins in the space of a week then?
It's now 3, because we won 6-0 last Wednesday, 6-1 Saturday, and 6-0 again last night. So, I mean, I was looking back through our results, actually, and just seeing, I think we've hit 6 5 times this year. We've hit 7, we've hit an 8, and our biggest has been a 9. So we are free-flowing in terms of goals. Our home form has been really terrific. We've played 8-1-8 in the league at home, and a lot of those things. So I'm not really too sure what the secret is, but the boys are playing full of confidence, and our strikers are really lethal at the minute as well. We've got one lad who's on 29, I think he's on overall in all competitions. So not too bad going, given that we're only at the beginning of October. Sorry, end of October.
I hope you've budgeted for this in any goal bonuses that they were promised.
I think we'd be out of pocket if we'd done that.
So are all these goals coming from the front line, or is everybody getting in on the act as well?
We've got 3 players in double figures at the minute. One is a wing back, so he's got a terrific return. He's on 11, which again is good going, and he's actually had a few weeks out injured as well. So he's on 11, but we've got one striker on 20 odd, and the other lad's on 29. The striker that was on 20 odd was leading the way, but he had a mid-season vacation, so he's been gone for 2 weeks. In that time, it's enabled the other lad to really step up, Ryan Richards, and he's got 12 in his last 4 games or something like that, but 29 overall. So yeah, he's in red hot form at the minute.
Yeah, and scoring goals, and clearly you're also not letting them in at the other end either. Is it just that attack is your best form of defence?
We've got a team whereby we do try our philosophy, if you want. I mean, they're all different, but we do try and play through the thirds, and we've got players that are comfortable in possession of the ball, no doubt about that. And obviously, in a lot of the games we play, we do have large spells of possession. So that does help with the clean sheets as well. But, they are important to us. You know, if we're, like last night, we were 3-0 at half-time, my lads will tell you that I often say I'd rather win 3-0 than 4-1 because of the clean sheet. So, the goals are free-flowing at the minute, and long may it continue. We're really enjoying it. You know, it wasn't expected, but we are... doing really well. It might be slightly due to the league restructure at our level. We had one division last year. That's now been split into two with the FA restructure. So sides from beneath have been promoted. And it might take you a few years just for that to level itself out a little bit. But that's not to say that the teams that have come up have all taken hammerings. They haven't. And some of them have come up and, beaten the sides that were in our division last year. So, it's hard to put an exact reason behind it, but I think it could be a multitude of things. But at the minute, the boys are playing full of confidence. And, when strikers are in good form, they just want to keep playing and scoring, as you would know, and that's what's happening.
Yeah, and it's clearly the form is impacting positively all around, because you sound really positive. But also, so was it 260 for a midweek game as well this week? So attendances are good too.
Yeah, at our level of football, that's a great midweek attendance, and we had the same last Wednesday as well. So yeah, what we're hopeful is that our performances are now bringing new people through the gate, and that's what we want. We want to try and drive those attendance levels because it creates a great atmosphere on nights last night. And last night we did have a real special night. We beat one of our rivals, Bodmin Town, 6-0. It's not often that you beat a Bodmin Town side. So
that's a good crowd at your level. You're still at step six, and I'm involved in a step three club. And a midweek game, if we got 250, we'd be very pleased too. And I see. As ever, your social media is always vibrant and very busy, but you've made plenty of signings too. Is that a sign of players wanting to sign for you because you're doing so well and can see that you're buzzing?
Our social media has taken off. We've got our own Ashes TV now, so we've got a YouTube channel, it may be helping with attracting people through the gate, because everything gets put on Twitter and Facebook now, and people do come along and have a little look-see. And the boys are serving up some good football, but the signings that we've made have come in. They've been right for the environment we've created. We've had to sign a couple recently just due to a depleted squad. I mean, we've been going on average every 4 days, probably like most sides. I mean, we had that really bad winter a few years ago whereby pretty much wiped out the football season for about 9 weeks, I think it was, down here. And it was so frustrating back then, just training, then going into each weekend with no real promise of a game because of how bad the weather was. And so what's happened at our level now down here is that the fixture secretary has front-loaded the fixtures. So we're playing sort of every midweek from August right through till November. And with that, obviously, eventually you do tend to get some casualties within the squad. And out of a squad of 21, we did make a couple of signings at the start of the year as well. We have one or two that have opted not to carry on, but we have one or two that retired. So those that have come in have done really well and just carried on with the process, really.
Yeah, and you mentioned the changes in the restructuring and that. Yeah, you're in the South West Peninsula Premier Division West this season. Despite all those goals, and despite only, is it one defeat this season? You're only second behind St Austell. It's a 5-point gap, but you've got four games in hand. So it shows that it's still competitive as a division. You're obviously just in the groove.
Yeah. And then, I will give those other sides a mention that are up there with us. St Austell have had a great start to the year. They've had big change within their own squad this year. We have played them twice already, home and away, and we've beaten them twice, 3-0 both times. So that was a real big 6 points for us, because they will definitely have a say of where the title's going to go at the end of the season. They're certainly in the mix themselves. Mousel beat us 3-1 down there. They've got like a football academy that they're trying to get off the ground down there. And what they're trying to do is get sort of young professionals that perhaps have fallen out of the game back into the game. And so they've got some full-time players down there, which makes it difficult for us because we're not full-time. So we lost down there. That was our only league defeat. And we had a draw probably against an unfancied Newquay side, a sort of mid-table team at our level. But on the day, we were 3-0 down with that half an hour to play. Just had a real bad day at the office. And we managed to salvage a draw that day. So, But other than that and the defeat in the FA Cup to Clevedon, we've had a really good season. I couldn't have wished for anything more, and the lads have been absolutely terrific.
Yeah, and I mentioned we spoke to you last year, I think, was it about the FA Vars. This season you've had an impressive win at Torpoint, and you've got a home tie coming up at Bridgewater in the second round. Are you looking to go even further in that competition this season?
Yeah, our over aspiration is to actually be in it, the other side of Christmas. Last time we actually, I think... I'm not sure whether it was a kiss of death, Tim, but I think I came on your show and then I think we got eliminated in the very next game.
I didn't like to mention it.
But even on that day, looking back, we had enough chance. You know, football's a funny game, isn't it? Because goals change games. And in that game, we were leading and then we ended up just capitulating really in the last 10 minutes. And that was a steep learning curve for us. I think we lost 4-2 on the day. But with Bridgewater, they're in the next league above. They're at the top of their division. They are up near the top. And it's going to be a really hard task that to get through that day. But we're at home. And it's become a real fortress for us. And we'll fancy our chances. Last year, we eliminated many opposition from that league last year. So we'll be full of confidence going into the tie, but we're going to have to be at our very best to beat the opposition.
Yeah. What about targets this season in the league? Are you ready to go up to that next level?
Well, we actually got a meeting coming up at the club that's going to determine whether we're financially ready, because what we can't do is cripple the club in the process. And also, we've got to get the backing of the current squad, because it will mean more travelling. Mm. So, if we get everything in place and we finish in the required places, then that is the aspiration. I'm aspirational as a manager, and the players are aspirational. I've touched base with them and they all want to play in the higher division. So the club have got to get their bit right, and hopefully you'll see Saltash United playing at a higher standard of football in the future.
And hopefully we'll be speaking to you again very soon, Matt Cusack. Thank you for joining us, and best of luck for the rest of the season.
Always a pleasure, Tim. Best of luck to you as well, mate. Take care. Thank you.
So let's round off the show and head on over to Non-League Paper Towers as ever. And welcome back to the Non-League Show. Editor at large of the Non-League Paper, Mr. Matt Badcock. Welcome back, Matt.
Thank you, Tim. How are you?
You're tired already. It's been a long week.
What's been going on? What's been going on? You not had much on, have you?
No. It's just it's cup matches. You know, when you get involved in non-league football clubs, these are the sort of games that you dream of. You know, not the you know, no disrespect to Barton Rovers, but it's always the one I use. Barton Rovers on a Tuesday night on a cold, freezing February is the one that sort of sticks in my mind in a league game in the Ryman Division 1 North or something many, many years ago. That's when you earn your corn as a person involved in a non-league club or a fan. And then it's golden games like this one in the FA Cup we're going to be looking forward to. That's where you're supposed to enjoy it. But actually, when you're involved with a non-league club and you know, there's very few hands on deck, it's very busy. I've filled in more forms, had more meetings and spoken to more people in authority than probably when I was at school, I think. But it is good. It is good. It's nice to be recognised, and hopefully we can do non-league proud. But anyway, I'm not here to talk about me. I'm here to talk about the rest of non-league. I suppose we should start with the FA Cup, because it's been a big week in non-league as ever. The fourth round into the first round becomes, and obviously Hayes and Yedding against Oxford United is one of the TV games, but a nice selection of non-league clubs being given some TV coverage this time round.
Yeah, it's a nice selection. I think we're probably expecting some more games to be moved, are we, for the BBC sort of final score that they do on the Sunday. I was sort of wondering earlier when the games came through and we put them out on Twitter and website and things, do you think there's ever been a selection of games that everyone sort of said, yeah, I agree with that? Because there's always someone who's not, you know, doesn't quite agree with it or can't understand why X club's not been put on and how dare they ignore this other club. But there's lots of really, really good ties in this first round proper, and obviously Dulwich Carlisle's going to kick the weekend off, and you can see the sort of attraction for that one. It's going to be quite an occasion for that club, who sort of, you know, such an amazing sort of story over the last few years, how they've not only grown their crowds, but then all the issues they've had with being, you know, booted off their own ground for a bit, and now they're back, and it's going to be, you know, that's going to really kick the weekend off perfectly, really. And there'll be, you know, the Dulwich message that we sort of know very well in non-league will be going far, far and wide.
Indeed. And the great thing about the draw as well was that Chichester City being that last ball out of the bag. Now, it has been suggested to me, I think, that the highest placed club was the first one out, and the last, the Lovest Place Club was the last one out. And if that's fate, then we should all be buying our lottery tickets. But it's nice to know that there's the Lovest Place Club still going to be in the second round.
Yeah, it's perfect, really, isn't it? It's I spoke to Carl Shorten manager Peter Denier this week, and he was sort of saying, you know, if it wasn't us, then we were hoping it'd be some, you know, another non-league club. And he said how pleased he was for Chichester, and he sort of made the point that, you know, it's perfect, really, isn't it, that they are the lowest ranked club and they've had, you know, the most games and come the furthest, and, you know, football writes its own stories like this. So yeah, great for them. Obviously, I'm not really seen anything like this for a while, everywhere, a club sort of getting a bye through. And I know people say, oh, you could have picked a lucky loser, but that wouldn't be for me, really. I think clubs who've got in there and, you know, get in and got into the first round sort of deserve that sort of shot at something like that. So we've spoken to Chichester this week and got big piece on them, and, you know, they've donated to sort of the Bury supporters, haven't they, which the chairman said they were going to do anyway, because they sort of know what it's like and how difficult things can be, and they've had their issues down the years. So, you know, it's a great windfall for the club. It means they can play their league game as usual and then sort of get dreaming of a big boy in the second round. I assume they'll be hoping that Portsmouth get through. I'm sure the players would fancy Portsmouth away in the second round.
Yeah, and
we shouldn't say that, though, because they've got Harrogate, so we want Harrogate to win.
We talk every week about, you know, the stories in non-league, and that's, you know, the magic of the FA Cup, and I guess, you know, some of the TV selections are based on those stories. You mentioned Dulwich already. Yeah, my own club, you know, touch and go whether we'd still survive a few years back. And Chichester, again, another story where they were really struggling a few years ago, but it also gives hope to other clubs that are maybe, you know, teetering on the brink. We know that there are plenty of them. We don't always report about them. We don't always hear about them. But we know how hard it is for clubs out there. And it can just be almost like a roll of a dice that your fate can change, and suddenly you're back in the game when very much in the red.
Yeah, exactly. I think it just sort of, even generally speaking, how much these sort of cut runs can mean to a club, and what it can bring them, and how it can help them build, you know, building a fan base and everything comes with that. I went to Potter's Bar last weekend to see them against Barnet, and it was only a fourth qualifying round game, but it had all the feel of a first round proper game. That's exactly how it felt when you turned up at the club, and they did such a brilliant job of organising it. Or, as you say earlier, it's not, these are the things you're supposed to enjoy, but it does put a lot of pressure on people. But I thought they were excellent at Potts Bar. You know, everything was sorted outside, car parking and getting in, you know, selling scarves outside the ground before you got in, and a temporary bar that seemed to be doing a decent trade when I left at around 3 o'clock or whenever it was. So, you know, that's all the biggest crowd that they've ever had, and, you know, hopefully that can sort of filter on into their league games and sort of, you know, going forward, and maybe they've got a few more fans and captured some imaginations of some youngsters to get down and watch them or get involved in the youth teams and all that comes with it, because this is, you know, there is that sort of in the moment sort of feeling and trying to win a game, but, you know, the as you say, the lasting legacy of these sort of runs can be really, you know, important and crucial and vital for non-league football clubs.
It can be, and interestingly, you know, managerial changes this week. We see a club, Eastbourne Borough, Lee Bradbury. I mean, the management team that departing there, I can't imagine they're not going to be in a job for a very short period of time, because they've got so much experience there, but they've left Eastbourne Borough with the suggestion that the club are looking at a £40,000 shortfall this month, because, well, I guess that their season hasn't gone as planned.
Yeah, I think it's sort of, there was going to be a takeover that was going to go through and hasn't, and I think it's obviously caused some issues, and I think that's sort of in the statement that they sort of amicably parted ways with Lee, and he did fantastic at Havant, and that's why Eastbourne went with him in the first place. I think things just haven't quite panned out as the club had maybe hoped, and they're sort of obviously, like you say, there's some issues there that they really need to address and quickly. And that's obviously a, you know, a concern. It's a place I'm sure you've been as well, and it's a, you know, enjoyable place to go, but it does sort of show that, you know, it wasn't all that long ago they were in the National League or conference as it was then, and how things can change and how finances can bite. But yeah, it doesn't, it's not sort of good news coming out of the club, and there's obviously a bit of an appeal to sort of secure their future.
And Mark Jones, another manager leaving by mutual consent up at Oxford City this week as well. And then you see Curtis Woodhouse, who we had on the show recently, moving from Tadcaster Albion. I mean, Dave Anderson struggles to keep up with the number of clubs that Curtis has played for, managed and been associated with. And then he's moved on to Gainsborough Trinity.
Yeah, he has actually spoke to Curtis this morning, and he was saying what a great opportunity it is for him. He knows it's not going to be easy. He knows he sort of swapped a job that was going really well at Tadcaster. He obviously took over in the summer and having a really good season so far, and he sort of swapped that for a bit of a relegation dogfight. But I think he's looking at what the potential of that club can be and where it can take him in his own sort of managerial career. You know, he says how ambitious he is. Everyone knows what he wants to do. He's been in management in 9 years at the moment, so he's got a lot of experience, and he wants to do it this way and really earn his stripes. He played in the Premier League as a player, but you know, management is different, and he's really sort of there's not many things that he's not already had to cope with in non-league football and in some of some tricky jobs that he's had with budget cuts and clubs almost going bust and going to the wall and things like that. He's not had it easy, and this is where he believes it's all part of his education, and the chance to take on a club like Gainsborough was a big one for him. He sort of referenced Chris Wilder and what he's doing at Sheffield United now, and how he did all those hard yards many years ago in non-league football and even Sunday league football with Chris, and he uses those people like him as real inspiration to what he can achieve and what he can do. Like I say, he said he knows it's going to be difficult. They've not had the sort of the start that they would have wanted, just not quite worked out. And sort of Liam King, who got on really well, is a really top lad, and he was sort of manager for a bit, and he's going to become coach. And you know, he's only young, and he'll sort of learn a lot from these sort of experiences as well. So it's going to be interesting to see how he can sort of turn them around, and they kick off in the trophy on Saturday against Dunstan. And he says, you know, it's a perfect game for them, because you'll see exactly what he's got in his squad, because it's not an easy one.
Yeah, you certainly covered the full gamut of non-league experiences already as a manager, and he's got plenty of experience behind him worldly wise elsewhere, so I think he's someone that's going to go on and forward. Interesting appointment at Northwood, Jamie Leacock, who's been he's been around for so long as a number two, and has finally made that step up to take on a managerial position. Obviously this weekend, it's been a nice quiet week already, but this weekend we've got the FA Trophy to keep you occupied, certainly on Saturday evening. Any big games that are sort of enticing you maybe out of the office, or certainly one that you'll be keeping an eye on?
No, well, I'm firmly chained to the desk this week. And so I went to Potter's Bar last week and had a rare foray out of the office so far this season, but I managed to make it back in after. So I'm not saying I did a double shift, but that's exactly what I'm saying, Tim. lots of Gainsborough, Dunstan Gainsborough is one of our picture games. We've got lots going on, lots of trophy coverage. It's going to be all the Step 3 clubs are in now, and we've seen in the past that these sort of clubs can have a really good run in the competition, and looking for those sort of big draws, kind of like mini FA Cup on that sort of version, trying to get through and see how they can fare against those bigger boys. As I said, I spoke to Carl Shorten, manager, he's had a knee this week, and he was saying about beating Dagenham in the FA Cup last Saturday and how they'd taken a lot of confidence from last season in the FA Trophy when they drew 3-3 with Barnet and fortunately lost the replay, but he said, you know, that really gave us a bit of belief that we could compete against the National League sides. So it's early days in the Trophy, but it's a competition that quickly ramps up.
It does quickly ramp up, and we're running out of weekends. I know we seem to be reporting on FA competitions almost every week with the Trophy, the FA Cup and the VARs. But obviously, where the fixture congestion starts coming in, the next round of the Trophy is the same weekend as the first round of the FA Cup. So there's going to be some Trophy games which will end up being played midweek.
That's something you now made me. I might go and take that week off now. I didn't realise that. That sounds like a headache. Well, I'm looking forward to when we can have a first week in the paper where we just step 1 to 6 and we know exactly where we are. But it's it is a time of year, and
we haven't even got to the bad weather yet. Hopefully, fingers crossed. Right. We're going to have a nice mild winter.
I'm just looking out the window now as the rain crashes down.
I have to admit the long trousers are back on. Mm-hmm. They're back on. Mm-hmm. Living in the shorts has gone.
It is interesting that the Trophy is going to be on that weekend. There will be some in midweek. I remember there was a call a couple of years ago that the Trophy should become a midweek competition, which sort of isn't one for me personally, just because I'm sort of a bit of a traditionalist when it comes to those sort of competitions, and I think they should be on Saturday. But it is going to be, talk about the fixture pile up. I feel like it's already been piled up in these opening weeks, because there's been so much football played already. It's been quite incredible.
And so, what else can we expect to read about then? I think we've probably covered it all. Anything else we can expect?
FA Cup, FA Cup. Spoken to Sean Newton at York City, who's got his own very sort of unique FA Cup story from a few years ago when he was at Droylsden, and sort of goes through it all now. But he scores after a couple of abandonments and floodlight failures and things like that. He scored 2 goals against Chesterfield. As Droylsden got through, and then woke up next morning and found out that he shouldn't have been playing because he was suspended and the club had been kicked out. And he's been waiting a few years for a decent FA Cup run, and he scored a good goal against Stockport County last week. But York have obviously started really well, and he's sort of saying how together the squad is, and how much confidence Steve Watson, the manager's, given them. So lots of that. And there's, say, Chichester, FA VARs previews as well. We've got a preview of the Withenshaw Northwich Victoria game. So plenty going on. And then, of course, all the action on Saturday as well, providing it stops raining.
Well, I'm sure there'll be plenty to read on Sunday morning, Matt. Thanks for joining us on the Non-League Football Show, and we'll speak to you again soon.
Thanks, Tim.
That's it for this week. A big thank you for everybody that joined me, all of our guests. A big thank you to everybody for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us throughout the season and join in throughout the week on social media at Non-League Show, and Dave Anderson on at DaveAnderson78, Caroline Barker's at Caroline Barker, and myself at Tim Fuel. Plus, of course, you can find us every week on Audio Boom, on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, as they're now branded, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, via your smart speakers, and of course, all good podcast aggregation sites. Thank you and goodbye.
Jabber Production. JIBBA JABBA.